Welcome to No Direction Beyond, the Starfinder news, reviews, and interviews podcast. I'm your host, Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param, and I'm joined by...
Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer.
And...
I'm James. I write Code Switch.
Awesome. This is going to be a very James-heavy episode because we are here to talk about Starfinder's most excellent and fabulous class, the Envoy.
That's why we couldn't have him last week, because, man oh man, we needed to save our James concentrate for this episode, which means taking all the James from last episode and smothering it on this episode.
Yeah, I feel like dirty jelly.
Dirty syrup.
Yeah. So, Envoys.
Envoys! Right. Envoys are often called Starfinder's Bard class, but they can also be their scoundrels.
Yeah, they in playing one, it feels a lot like you're mixing a rogue and, like, an oracle bard. Like, you don't have the same combat facilities as before, but it feels like its own class after a while, depending on what you're doing.
I think that watching it and, like, having my 17 levels of experience playing a bard, in a lot of ways, an envoy looks more dynamic than the bard does, because the bard is like, I'm going to do this one performance all day for the rest of my life and maybe attack or cast spells or something. And the envoy, like, actually has choice, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at class options, you can totally still do that, but we'll talk about that when we get there.
Indeed. And that's a good time to remind everybody that we record this live in front of a Twitch audience. So if you are joining us and have any questions about the Envoy, the show, or anything at all, please answer it through into our Twitch chat and we will be collecting it. We would also like to take this time to thank our Patreon backers, who are one of the reasons this show can continue to happen. Every little bit you guys give us helps to help expand the network and keep us moving on.
I know there's a lot of cool shows on the network, and I think we got a lot of people going for recording seminars at Gen Con, too. So.
Oh, man, yeah. The Gen Con, man. We've got that thing booked up. We've got some great volunteers helping us out, plus we've got some staffers helping us out. We will probably get we may get all of Gen Con. There are a couple of seminars that we may intentionally not cover only because they don't make great audio, because they're like interactive workshop type stuff.
Or learn to draw.
Yeah. And that stuff, like, we have those sorts of things every year, and we just make the judgment call of nobody wants to listen to this for an hour that wasn't actively participating in it. And if you were there, it was awesome. But let's listen to Lisa Steven talk about the game industry for 2 hours instead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, James, when Starfinder first came out, regarding the Envoy class, the number one thing that you constantly saw was, man, oh man, this class is terrible. Why would you play an Envoy? This class is the worst. Every class is better. Envoy is bad, 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 bad. Before we get started, can you tell me why those people are right or wrong?
Oh, I think if you think a class is just bad, 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 you're wrong. Even the mechanic has redeeming qualities. The Envoy is a pure support character. You can tailor it to try to do parts of other classes' jobs better, but it fills that gap in your party. And I think if you've ever played Numenera, it's a lot like the Jack class. Even though it doesn't focus as much as combat as some of the Jack's abilities does, it kind of fits that just, hey, I'm going to glue us all together. So it is good. It's not bad. You just aren't always going to be the star.
Unless you're Mitsuko Hane.
Unless you're Mitsuko Hane.
Question for Param in chat. James and my friend Jen asks, how good do you think the Skittermander Envoy is? Apparently the pre-gens from Skittershot were posted today.
I'm looking for those pre-gens right now. I'm not, like, because they were posted today, then I've not gotten them. But I did get to play next to said Envoy when we were doing Skittershot at PaizoCon. And I will say that it was surprisingly effective. I like that I've got the pre-generated characters pulling them up now. I like that they weren't first-level characters. They're second-level characters, which makes a lot of difference in Starfinder, where a lot of the classes' oomphs kick in at second level. So you don't actually get a good feel for a lot of how the game plays if you're like playing the first level pre-gens, especially the Starfinder Society ones. But a lot of class abilities kick in at second level. And I learned to very much rely on our envoy while we were trying to make our way through that scenario.
What? The Starfinder Society pregens might not be a good representation of Starfinder? How could you say that about Altronus?
Oh. Eventually, they're going to pull a they're going to pull like they did, and they're going to remake those pregens like they did the Pathfinder ones. And Altronus is going to be like the biggest, most incredible badass going.
They didn't remake them. We've had 11 years of bad Harsk.
They just made new ones and we forgot about the bad ones.
No. Casey has never forgotten about Harsk. Casey runs around with Harsk's t-shirts, James.
I mean, some people still wear Alf t-shirts. Sometimes bad decisions are made past their lifespan.
Alf is a horrific show to watch. Like, it is a horror show disguised as a children's sitcom.
Yeah. Upon further reflection, it's actually kind of horrifying. But as far as, Obaziah isn't really great at first level either. It's just the game as a whole isn't great at first level. But that's okay.
Oh. Hey, but since the listeners did bring this up, let's examine the envoy and change our pace a little bit by examining Gazigaz, the Skidramander envoy, and
his name is Gazigaz.
Yes. The thing you need to know about Gazigaz is he has a deep interest in fashion. He tries to wear the latest styles and keeps his fur shiny and brushed. He will sometimes spend over an hour fussing over the shape of his beard fur in the morning. Gazigaz is a male Skidramander Xeno Seeker envoy 2 from the Alien Archive. He is chaotic good, small humanoid, offense. He uses a tactical baton, and boy, does he use that tactical baton, and a static arc pistol. His class abilities are improvisation, get 'em, inspiring boost. He has expertise of D6, 6 arms, skill expertise in diplomacy, and he is wearing freebooter armor 1.
Nice. Yeah. Get 'em is, I think, one of those things that pretty much all envoys go for. I don't think yours has it though. Does she?
No, I don't use that. I play a pacifist.
Oh, that's right. Get 'em would encourage violence, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I only do non-lethal as a last resort because I don't want to be murdered. But
I mean, don't all of us want to not be murdered?
I don't know. There are some days where I question that.
Well, part of it is just an action economy thing. Like, if you are using get 'em, you just lose a move action, and that makes it so you can't take full actions. It makes it so if you have to reposition yourself, you have to use your second one to do that. It's kind of limiting in a way.
And what you're talking about is the Envoy's special ability that's kind of like their Bardic Performance, the Envoy Improvisations. They get one at first level, then they get one at second level, and every even level past that. And Get'em is the one that seems to be the most popular. But I think it might be the wrong choice to go for when you have Clever Fint.
So that is a tricky one. But I think before we should start going too hard into the envoy options, we should probably talk about, like, you know, the things that it gets and, like, skills and stuff.
Spine?
No, not anything but the spine. Yes.
All right. Envoys have 6 hit points per level and 6 stamina points per level. Their key ability score is Charisma, which also helps their DCs. And they recommend that you have a high dexterity score to make you pew-pew better, or a high intelligence score because this is a skill-focused class. Their class skills are acrobatics, athletics, bluff, computers, culture, diplomacy, disguise, engineering, intimidate, medicine, perception, piloting, profession, sense motive, sleight of hand, and stealth. They have 8 plus intelligence modifier skills per level, which is insane, and they are proficient with light armor, basic weapons, and melee. So armor light, weapons basic, melee weapons, grenades, and small arms.
So all the things that you could theoretically get onto a spacecraft with, because they'd probably stop you if you had a combat rifle.
Indeed. Yeah.
They
kinda, that happened in...
They also have good reflex and will saves. Sorry.
That reminds me of the concert we went to, James. Everybody had to get their weapons checked, but the envoy was okay. Because her weapon was a microphone and nobody cared.
I do want to give one note about disguise, because I think that is a skill that after Pathfinder, everybody just kind of went, let's not use this, because A, players either break it ridiculously and it becomes not fun, or it's completely useless. Disguise's DCs are pretty reasonable, and the Holoskin item gets rid of penalties for like size, category, and race, so it makes it a lot easier to hide yourself amongst other things. So it's actually way more useful than it used to be, and I get a lot of mileage out of it in society.
He just likes changing his clothes. Don't listen to him, listeners.
Yeah, but when you change away from what somebody's looking for, that's good.
And I like the one of their skill expertises they can learn with disguise is just to casually walk different to GTFO.
Mm-hmm. I think you mean an expertise talent. Skill expertise is the awesome ability they get at first level. I love skill expertise because it's basically limitless inspiration from the investigator in Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really cool. And also it gets a static bonus to it as well as you get higher.
It's interesting because people like to talk about how the operative is the absolute best at skills, and from a passive bonus perspective, that's true. Mm-hmm. But the envoy's expertise ability, which is basically you have a very limited list of skills, you get sense motive and one other at first level, and whenever you get an expertise challenge, you can choose to add a new one. I think is how it works. Yeah, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you have this passive bonus that you have to roll for. But at level one, if you roll a 6, you have a +6 insight bonus to that, because that's the same type of bonus that all the classes add to skills. So theoretically speaking, if you get really lucky, you can have the best bonus in the game for like one check, and then eventually it goes up to D8, and like then you absolutely have the best if you roll a 7 or higher. And it's like, congratulations, I am the greatest. No one out Mitsuko's the Hane.
And there's a good combo with an expertise talent, but let's just ride what their actual class features are.
Okay.
At first level, they get an improvisation, which is like a cool little trick that they can do. Get them is one, inspiring boost is another. Mm-hmm. There's a list of roughly 24. Some get better as you get higher levels and you have to buy into them again. Some of them get better as you get higher levels and can add resolve to them to kind of get a rider off of it. And they all have a qualifier, like they're either language dependent, mind affecting, or sense dependent, or all sorts of, or a combination of them. So if they're language dependent, you need to be able to understand what somebody's saying. Mind affecting, you have to be able to be moved. And with sense dependent, they have to hear you.
And they have handy little pictures throughout the book so that you don't have to read those words over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good guides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. The iconography in Starfinder has been fantastic.
Yes, that's why I'm so excited to see what they do for the actions in Pathfinder, but that's another blog topic for another day. Yes. Like every other class in the game, the Envoy gets free weapon specialization with all the feats that are with all the weapons that they're proficient with.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you're going to be shooting a whole lot as an Envoy depends on your playstyle, but it's nice to have that damage in order to be competitive if you decide that you want to go in with your gun or your pistol or whatever. You also get it's actually really interesting when you look at this class, because unlike other classes that usually take about 2 pages to show off all their features and then they get to the selectables, the Envoy's entire kit is basically this one page under the table. It's not even a full page. It's like, yeah, here's a bunch of couple things you pick, and these are the two base. This is the one base ability you get. Go crazy. And that is sort of what the Envoy is. It's probably the most modular class out of all of the ones in Starfinder. It doesn't really make you stick to a theme the way that like the soldier or the operative do, and it doesn't have like this large list of powers that like you pick one and you get all of the whole bunch like in the Mystic. You just sort of pick what you want, and there's no restrictions. Like there's not even like a duality focus like in the Solarian. It makes it a really cool class if you just want to make a unique character who's very skillful.
Yeah, I agree. I do want to look, because there's something in here about expertise that I saw a while ago, and haven't had the avenue to bring up. A lot of people were complaining that skill focus doesn't stack with Envoy's improvisation bonus, and it does not. But at level 9, when you get, if you have spell focus in a skill and you have an improvisation with it, you can at least re-roll that expertise die once a day. So you get something from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because that was a big sticking point. It's just, it doesn't match. Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's the bonus you can get from this class is so crazy. Mm-hmm. I love how, like, in addition to the die getting bigger, you just get a flat static bonus to your expertise check. So, like, eventually there's a point where you can't roll lower than a 5, and the maximum you can roll is like a 12. And you're like, well, Mr. Operative, with your plus 6, I see you, and raise double your class feature.
why don't you go trick attack something out in the vacuum? Just head out. Mm-hmm.
Just go away. But I think this is a good time to start talking a little bit more about the actual Envoy improvisations, because there's a lot of them, mm-hmm. and they're kind of like, so like if every other class is like a Lego set that has like the picture of like a scene on the front, like Spider-Man swinging on a building or whatever, I feel like the Envoy is just a bucket of Legos and you build what you want out of that bucket.
Mm-hmm. You do get a lot of customization with this class, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have set archetypes, like, or not archetypes. It doesn't have like set focuses like a lot of the other classes do, where it's like you either pick this path or this path, and that's a defined choice. It's here's a mm-hmm. whole bunch of talents or improvisations that aren't talents. Pick the ones you like, and those are the ones you go with.
Right. And yeah.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say that, generally speaking, I think that there are a couple, so like, I feel like there's a couple like kingpin options that most envoys take, and then they sort of fill out around that kingpin with their build, just because there are definitely some that are less situational than others, and those more generally applicable improvisations tend to be the ones that people gravitate towards.
Yeah, and you have room to have like a good variety, because you get a new envoy improvisation every even level, and you get a bonus at first level. So you end up with like 11 towards the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, arguably, I feel like the one that the Envoy is the most known for is Inspiring Boost. Would you guys agree with me with that?
I would say Get 'Em is your more popular option, because, right. Hey, I help attack rolls, and that's a good bonus. Mm-hmm. And it fits with what people think of the class initially, which was a bard. Mm-hmm. I think Inspiring Boost is the most unique thing that they have, especially for low-level talent, in that it's the only thing in the game that I know that regenerates stamina.
So when I was at PaizoCon, I think some people know this, I grinded out my second level Yosoki operative to get him to third level so I could play in Star Sugar Heartlove with James this past weekend. And in every table I sat in, we had an envoy, and pretty much everyone at the table was like, oh yeah, you're in a lot of trouble if you don't have an envoy with Inspiring Boost, because it's the only thing in the game currently that restores stamina points during a fight. And the way that a lot of people that I was talking to at PaizoCon saw it, and I thought that it was a very interesting point that I wanted to bring up, is that because of how hit points are separated essentially into stamina and then actual hit points, like, you can only ever heal up to half of your hit point total. Half of your hit point total can only be healed by an envoy once for every 10-minute rest. So, like, the fact that you could go beyond plus ultra on that half that is normally inaccessible to you except for resting is pretty strong. And I feel like there were plenty of times at PaizoCon where like my life was saved because an envoy was like, don't die, and I was like, oh senpai noticed me, I can't die now.
And yeah, and I feel like when I only have like a mystic healer or I'm relying on stims, I when I'm playing, especially in society, it's like I feel so much more vulnerable than when there's an envoy on deck, because it's mm-hmm. like, I'm not hurt enough that I can heal myself, but I'm not full enough that I'm comfortable that thing won't crit kill me.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is that unless you go healer, your mystic's ability to heal is kind of low, just because you have basically just your spells, and there's kind of a pressure to be like, oh no, you got to save those spells for when your friends get beat up, and that's not always the most tactically sound option. Our mystic and Dead Sons melt brains with Mind Thrust pretty much every fight we have him in, and I'm so glad that he takes out those guys, but like, I think that even he sometimes is like, yeah, I should probably save these spell slots for when you guys get your faces punched in. And the envoy doesn't really care. The envoy's like, yeah, I can get one of you guys every 10 minutes. It's fine. Oh, you. Okay, oh, you. Okay, you're good too. And it's like, it's not an insubstantial amount of stamina healing. It's strong. And at least to me, I think that that is probably the best option that you should probably take at first level. And you probably won't regret it, because everyone is going to love you and they will all try to keep you alive. You will be everybody's envoy waifu.
And while that is a probably their most unique one and one of the most popular ones, the envoy's abilities are very well balanced against each other. That it's not there. It has some competition. Don't Quit is exceptionally powerful of an ability where you just basically get to tell an ally, ignore that thing that's completely shutting you down for a little bit. I mean, just being able to turn off status conditions in the middle of combat can be life-saving. Death is inconvenient, but it can be cured. Blinding is forever.
Don't Quit's also good because in the base level improvisation, it actually scales, and at sixth level you get stuff like panicked, nauseated, dazed, stunned, like things that are like paralyzed, like stuff that's like, oh god, I can't do anything, I am out.
And at 12th level you can just blow a resolve point to not just suppress it but to just completely get rid of it.
Yeah,
I'm of the opinion that Hurry and Improved Hurry are probably two of the strongest abilities in the game right now. Like the ability, like, so granted they're not strong if you're like a soldier, because like, you're not, as a soldier, you're not going to want to use Hurry to give somebody else an action. But as a envoy, the ability to be like, I'm giving you an action to do the thing that you want to do, but also get to do this move, is great. And later iterations of that ability just make it easier and less punishing for you to use it. And you can even spend a resolve point at like 12th level with the improved version of Hurry to be like, hey, you want an extra stamina standard action? Take your extra standard action. And it's like, oh, and there's like no restrictions on it. So you could give it to the Mystic and be like, Mystic, double mind thrust to that guy. And Mystic's like, this power, I feel it coursing through my veins. And it's great.
Yeah, or if you want to get the extra long operative trick attack, you give them your move action, the operative runs the million feet that they do, and then they trick attack.
Uh-huh. And then you give them another million feet of running. It's great. Or you can just say, hey, just take another shot when you're done. You'll be good. I got you. Yeah. I believe in you.
Yeah, movement and like positioning is so important in Starfinder as opposed to Pathfinder because of how beneficial cover is proportionally, that being able to just attack and just get behind something is a massive swing to your AC, which is like a 3 or 4 rank increase in armor, like an item level.
Totally.
Yeah, if you're not getting cover as a ranged character in Starfinder, you're playing the game wrong.
I mean, you can also just dolphin dive, but they stack, so if you can do both, you should do both.
Yeah.
If you don't know, dolphin dive is James's name for the technique where you just drop prone for the -4 penalty to being shot at.
Yeah, and then you get something like Kip Up or something that lets you stand up as a Swift the next round. And
it's also like Magikarp Splash. That's right. Yeah.
It's the worm of don't shoot me, at least. It hurts.
So speaking of don't shoot me, it hurts, a really great thing that you can do as an envoy, you have this really nasty version of Demoralize called Dispiriting Taunt as one of your improvisations, where you're just like, you're like, I'm going to try to demoralize you. If I succeed, you're demoralized. If I fail, you're off target, which is still basically demoralized. Mm-hmm. It's like the same exact thing. Like, the only difference is that it only applies to attack rolls, where the shaken condition applies to like saving throws and stuff too. Mm-hmm. But like, if you just don't want to get hit, it's literally like pass or fail. It's the same to you. You just don't care. And it's great.
And you can actually boost that at a fourth level with a quick dispiriting taunt and do that as a move.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys have any other, improvisations you want to talk about, or should we move on to expertise talents?
Well, clever improv. Oh, God.
Okay. One of the things I want to say is that as an alternative to everyone's fan favorite Get'em, Clever Fint is a great one, especially when you get it to quick, which or improved rather, Clever Fint, so that you can, when you make a ranged attack against a target, you can basically fint them, leave them flat footed. And that's great. And it provides an alternate. So they're always going to be flat-footed to you, even if you fail the roll. But if you make the roll, they're also flat-footed to your party members. When you combine that with the taunt, or you combine that with stacking draw fire, you can basically make everybody really inaccurate and have to shoot you. So if you build up a super defensive envoy with like heavy armor proficiency, and good use of cover and shields and all sorts
and
of
dolphin diving
and dolphin diving and you kip up because you're a rat, then
yeah, it's great.
Then you basically make force all the enemies to just waste their turns on you.
Yeah, it's great. Draw fire demoralizes -6 right there, minus another 4 for cover. If you're prone, that's -14 on their shots.
Yeah. It's nuts.
It's really funny. You could even take that feat where it lets you build cover no matter where you are as a move action. And then you have the rat folk dolphin dive technique. And like once you're prone, you can just keep doing it. Like it's fine. Nobody's going to stop you. Speaking of being prone, if you really like your friends being prone, Watch Out is like really good if your friends are like being shot by something. Because it lets you spend a reaction to let your friend spend a reaction to get a +4 bonus to AC against the attack, which is a very large bonus. Like, it is enough to save you from a lot of things. And then after the attack has resolved, you fall prone. So if the triggering attack was a melee attack, that was probably a bad choice. They're on the ground now, and they're taking -4 to their AC. But if the triggering attack was a ranged attack, they're taking -4 to hit you. So it's the same bonus as if your watch out bonus would lasted the entire attack. You basically just shove them over real good. It's great.
I just like you making somebody prone in front of like a Tyrannosaurus Rex and you go, you're being too hard to hit. Lay down.
No.
Clever improvisations is also probably a must take at 6th level. That allows you to just have a free gimme for reducing the resolve point on using a improvisation. So if you wanted to use the improved version of like Inspiring Boost, you wouldn't lose the resolve point that first time.
Mm-hmm.
There was one other that was pretty good. Let me... Mm-hmm. Expert attack, if you're going for the more offensive version, you can spend 2 resolve to add your expertise bonus to your next attack roll. So that's going to put you basically on par with Bab there.
Oh, man. Basically. So, like, there's one of them that called Heads Up that seems like it's not great. It's as a reaction, whenever you pass a perception check, you can let an ally also pass that check. That would have been so good when we were fighting that sniper and my soldier was like, dirt, I don't have any ranks in perception and it's not a class skill for me. Wee, I can't see anything. There's no snipers here. Ow.
Hide in plain sight is a very strong ability.
It's even afraid. Stronger when that ability also gives you +10 to your stealth check. That operative exploit might be the first one I've seen that is legitimately too strong.
It is very rough to get over. Param, any other improvisations you want to mention?
No, but Imperial Source says that they like the expanded range options, which means they have to use less move actions to keep the allies and enemies in range, since move actions have a lot of value as an envoy.
They do. That one is good. But this sounds like a good time for us to start talking about expertise talents. Mm-hmm. So, generally speaking, you get one at 3rd level, you get another one every 4 levels afterwards, and sort of the default one is the ability to say, hey, I know you're already getting more skills with your expertise, but if you want more, here you can have them. But every other one has an ability that's basically sums up as when you make a check and you don't want your giant insight bonus, you can give up that giant insight bonus and get a cool benefit instead. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty strong way to say how these talents generally work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think some of them do. A lot of them work in other ways, though. These are basically rogue talents.
But they all interact with expertise is the gimmick for them.
Yeah. You have to have the skill expertise. The skill has to be one of your expertise skills before you can take one of its related talents. And most skills have two.
Yes.
And also, if you don't like the original list, there is additional skill expertise, so you can get better at mysticism or something.
Yes. You can be like, hey, you can be better at magic stuff as this diplomat. You can do it.
Well, somebody's got to argue with the sun wizards.
All those sun wizards. Although, one that I'm a really big fan of is like, hey, you know, if you didn't know enough languages and you want to know every language in the pack worlds by the time you're like sixth level, you could take skilled linguist, which basically gives you two languages for every ranks and culture you have. And, you know, just in case that wasn't enough, you know, speaking with all the trees, it wasn't what you wanted in life. You can just be like, hey, whenever I make a culture check to try to decipher writing, instead of getting my D8 plus 4 or whatever, I can totally just do it as a full action instead of 1 minute. Oh, gosh, I need to know what that thing says so that we don't get smushed by that trap that's falling down. Expertise!
And if you happen to be playing a certain adventure path available for Starfinder in which you find yourself stranded away from all technology for an unreasonable amount of time, the cultural savant will let you take 20 on your culture checks, even though you don't have access to those computers you no longer have access to because you're stuck in the darn elf jungle.
Oh, that's too real. Oh, man. The darn elf jungle. It's like, hey, you know how two of our classes are technology-based and kind of like benefit a lot and have many class features around having technology over the place? Let's just drop the players in a jungle. Let's see what happens. It'll be great.
I mean, you have plenty of tech. You just have what you bring and what any potential enemies may have there. Mm-hmm. You got some.
Mm-hmm. A very small count amount. As an enemy?
I've got my cell phone. I can play Bedazzled all throughout that jungle.
Hey, at one point you guys had an electric tent.
That was a great electric tent. I'm a big fan of that tent, by the way.
Oh yeah, mundane items in Starfinder are really amazing. Always have a fire extinguisher. No reason. Don't ask why. Just always have one.
Yep. So other cool things are abilities that, like, a lot of the expertise talents almost feel like, hey, shouldn't this be something the mechanic can do? Oh, wait, it can, but the envoy can do it too. That's pretty cool, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you have things like fast hack that lets them hack things faster, similar to a mechanic. You have abilities that make them better at lying. You have abilities that make them better at building stuff. It's pretty cool. You can build a lot of variety in your envoys based on the skills that you want to be good at, which is something helpful considering that this isn't a class that really tells you how to play your character. And that's sort of further emphasized in how this particular ability works, because it lets you build off the skills that you want to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lets you kind of play how you want to play. There are two talents that I think are really good, and they're basically the same talent, just with a different skill. Mm-hmm. They let you withhold your expertise die when rolling a skill check, and then you can either choose to re-roll it or then add your expertise die. Mm-hmm. Without getting the expertise die on the re-roll. But just so it helps avoid all those times where you go, yeah, 6 on the expertise die, and I rolled a 4. I guess I should just go dock into this river.
No, jump in that river, Mitsuko.
Yeah, I think it's just something that helps, you know, mitigate that. Because in Pathfinder, you're like, if you're an investigator and you're using this, it's like, oh no, I rolled a 3 and a 6 on my expertise die. I got a 31. This game's skill ranks don't allow you to do that very easily.
True. Oh. Yanichihara, teen detective.
Mm-hmm. What I'm
so that's kind of the bulk of this class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all the abilities. We're done. But
it's For a class that's arguably one of the strongest and the most flexible, mm-hmm. it's also one of the shortest, which is really, I think it's something special about this class personally.
And you really need to emphasize that this is this probably is the most flexible class in Starfinder. Because it has such a huge amount of skills, a way to boost any of the skills you want, mostly. Some really sweet abilities, and your main ability, your inspirations, have such a wide variety of options so that you can really focus on all sorts of styles of play or shoring up various deficiencies the class has by choosing those and clever use of them. You can make just about any charismatic leader type character that you can think of in fiction. You can make your Han Solo as an envoy instead of an operative, and probably would make a better Han Solo if you did that. You can make Mitsune Hane, which I would totally want to hear more about your character there, James. You can make most of the cast of Star Blazers. You can make your Harlock using this class and not going for the more obvious operative choice. As long as that character is a force of personality or any sort of leader, you can build them. Every single starship captain except Picard could be built as an envoy.
What do you think Picard would be built as?
Picard would be a soldier that specializes in staring.
Okay, got me there. Wasn't expecting that.
Oh no, critical hit.
Yeah.
I think that one of the strengths that the Envoy has compared to a lot of the other classes is that it's a class that doesn't have to be a fighter if it doesn't want to. Like, whenever we play with James and James does his Mitsuko Hane stuff, like, as he said earlier in the show, his character is a pacifist. I'll let James tell more about that, but at no point does being a pacifist ever actually, like, hurt us as a group, because there's always something nonviolent that James can do to make us not suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the whole point around, because I figure everybody would be doing a lot of damage, and I'd seen how, like, with doing playtesting, where everybody else's ability lied, and I just wanted to do something that was a little different. So I made a, you know, basically J-pop idol who's an android, and I figured, how would they go about that? And the Envoy presents that ability there.
Imperius. But where I think it makes that work, though, is the fact that every other class in the game has to worry about feats, especially if you're a soldier, and we don't have enough of them yet to the point where, like, everybody pretty much takes the same feats. And there are a couple of niche ones that you sometimes see to spruce it up, but for the most part, everybody has very similar options. The math basically requires weapon focus if you're going to be to hit, basically. And because everybody is taking the same actions with the same general types of weaponry, it can feel very samey. But if you're an envoy, you have all of this crazy stuff to do, and you're always doing it. There's never a point where you're like, as a, you know, our party mystic sometimes is like, wow, I don't have many spells. Maybe I should grab my battle staff and thwack that guy instead. You laugh, but Tom has had so much, like, goodness doing that. Yeah, he's never caught up to me in damage, but, like, he usually hits for around half to three-fourths of what I do. Mm-hmm. So it's worth it, but it adds to this level of sameness in gameplay, where the Envoy is like, I could do this all day. Ha, you're better. Ha, you're better. Get him. Everybody, pile on that guy. Oh, God, dodge, jump, push over, belly flop, do the dolphin. Like, they're always doing something that's not just an attack. And so, in a way, I feel like the Envoy is probably the most cinematic of the classes right now.
Yeah, and there's feats that you can take to help improve that. Some feats like Medical Expert, which allows you to do Cure, Treat Deadly Wounds as, like, a full round action. So you can still help people and get some hit point healing done. Things like Shot on the Run, so you can get to places. Mobility is going to be your big thing. As Imperius noted, like, that extended range is really helpful. You're still kind of at the mercy of if you can be seen and affected with certain improvisations. Mobility is important in Starfinder. Anything that increases that is good, and will make you a better envoy.
And speaking of Imperiosaur, we've got a question in chat that might as well lead us into where I want to go next, which is, wait, is Mitsuko Hane just Hatsune Miku? James, why don't you tell us about Mitsuko Hane and how you've built your character?
Yeah, at some point during Pathfinder, we were going to play Jade Regent, and we ended up not doing it, but I had this big dumb write-up for this Envoy Bard, this Android Bard, and that game never happened. And it was kind of based around Hatsune Miku, and then this game came around and go, oh yeah, I can totally do this concept again. I don't need a big charity boon. I'm just going to be the happiest, most friendly person ever and tell everybody that they're murderers. Because everybody's a murderer. Starfinders are the bad people, it turns out.
Oh, no.
I mean,
You were there for the last scenario. You saw what happened.
Oh, yeah. We...
Are you all bad people? Alex, are you busy being a terrible sociopath?
So, what happened was is we had to go and we had to collect this guy. Historia 7 wanted us to bring this person back alive.
Of course, and it's Historia.
So, like, we all had, like, merciful fusion seals slapped onto our weapons, too, as part of this. So it should have been a routine job. It should have been easy. And then the person that we were after started to run. And one of our characters went after them and charged them and attacked them with a melee weapon. The problem is that person was the only character in the game who could not have a fusion seal put onto their weapon. The party Solarian with their solar weapon. And she goes and she hits this person because the player is not paying attention, not realizing that, like, my really low trick attack of, like, a 22 managed to trick attack this guy. He's CR1 and she's CR, like, 5 or 6. And she destroys him because she doesn't take the penalty for dealing non-lethal damage with lethal weapons. And... like, oh my gosh. And we were like, please, it says that as long as you're okay with it, they're alive. And then James goes, wait, you know, by the rules, you don't die until your turn if you can't pay the resolve. So if this person has no resolve, we can still save him if our party mystic runs up and heals him before he dies. That's the only reason we got our secondary prestige point. Thank you, Chaplain. You are the real MVP of this party. Also, you put up with the Lolita dress, which was great.
And also, it's not just that. We were sent to kidnap somebody. Oh, yeah. Starfinders are the bad guys, turns out.
I feel like... so it's funny because in Pathfinder Society, like, all the write-ups say the Pathfinder Society is neutral. And I feel like in Pathfinder Society, we, like, stop demonic evasions on Absalom and we stop Rune Lords and we do all this really good aligned stuff most of the time. And then Starfinder Society is like, hey, we're mostly good because you guys are supposed to be heroes. Go kidnap that person. Bring him here for torture. It's like, what? I don't think you guys at OP know what good and evil is, like.
Okay. Hold on a second.
That's why we're having some character with a good sense of morals would be fun.
Yeah, hold on a moment. We're having
that's how
some...
that character came to be. And there's an easy way to do non-lethal weapon with damage. Most of the shock weapons do stun, which you can switch to non-lethal.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, can you guys hear me?
Somewhat.
Okay, hold on, everybody. We're having some technical difficulties.
I think the Borg got Param, guys.
No, but yep. The internet connection has been...
She's a monster.
All right. I'm going to have to tap in. One moment. Tick. Oh, you got it.
Param's melting.
Oh, man, James. Param caused your FPS problem.
Yeah, right?
Like, you haven't had a single issue after you got Overwatch, out of Overwatch. Dude, tell me more about your amazing adventures as Masuko Hane.
Well, a lot of them have to do more around the scenarios themselves. I will say until the day I die, Starfinder Society scenarios have been amazingly written. Mm-hmm. They've put you in places that have felt like it's mattered what you've done, even if, you know, the scenario has a definitive end. They seem to be a fan of re-putting in characters, including characters from the adventure paths. Like, yeah. You see that as well. So, like, you might meet certain people from EOX in the AP and then meet them again at, you know, maybe like a game show or something like that and Starfinder Society.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I lost it when Peter showed us that art. I was like, no, that's the same art from Dead Sons. I know that art. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Please stop screaming at me.
There's never a good excuse to stop screaming,
especially not when you're melting.
Anger in check says, "Anger in check says we're all frozen." So,
okay, it looks like we are back. We are green again.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, so back to Envoys then.
Okay, so the video is definitely frozen. Refresh the page if you notice that we're frozen, and it should be fixed now.
Okay.
But we should probably start working on wrapping it up because we're running on time.
Right. So why don't we do a final impression of the Envoy to wrap it up? Everybody does your own. James, you have the most experience. We'll start with you, then go to Param, then go to me, because my only experience is one playtest test character that died horribly.
Yeah, it did. The Envoy is a endlessly versatile character. You see, a lot of it is the hero role, but you could do a very good supporter role. Somebody who's a little quieter and not as boisterous, just somebody with a force of caring personality. There's one archetype that will work for it. That's like the stalwart in the Pact Rules book. So you can get some more leverage out of that to get a little bit better at combat. But it's a fun class that you can build how you want. Go at it. It'll help make your party together.
I think the Envoy is one of the strongest characters in Starfinder and one of the most fun to play. If you are an outgoing role player who really likes to ham it up, this is definitely one of the classes you should consider as probably your first choice. And you have a lot of choices for your actions during the game and during your combat turns. So you're not going to be doing the same thing over and over again. This is a great class for people that like to think and plan, and it is fantastic.
The Envoy is a class that that occupies a role in Starfinder that no other class really does all that well, and that's buffing, debuffing, and general support. You have a couple spells on the Technomancer Mystic list that can sort of do it. You can kind of do it with a combination of feats and like the Harrying Fire and Covering Fire action, but no one really manages to get the potency that the Envoy has, because the Envoy can use many buffs and debuffs all day without any real limit. There are some abilities that require you to spend resolve, yes, but for the most part, the Envoy is the champion of making people better, whether that's by healing stamina, giving bonuses to attack, providing defensive benefits, making enemies weaker. The Envoy really has it all, and a good Envoy player is going to have a large palette of tools that their skill at applying those tools is going to be what determines how successful they are as a character. It's a gameplay mechanic that requires finesse and a lot of knowledge of the system, which I think makes it probably the class with the highest skill ceiling. It looks really fun, it's interesting, and you always know when you have one there because amazing stuff is happening at your table.
I do want to give one more adjunct that it's also kind of a story. Very quick, you do have access to grenade proficiency. Smoke grenades are like 80 credits. Throw them, they give cover, they're very good. They also require DC 15 fortitude check to not choke in the gas. So with your good dexterity, you can chuck this and be very good. Don't throw it at your feet like I did before reading the full description and stand in front of an enemy just coughing my lungs out. So that's a trick. That's a pro tip.
Excellent.
For your Envoy.
All right, that wraps things up for today. If you want to listen to any of our other amazing content, check us out at nodirectionpodcast.com, where this and many other fantastic shows will be airing, including No Direction Prime, which is our Pathfinder show, No Direction Adventurous, our live play show through War of the Crown, GM'd by Crystal Fraser herself, and the upcoming RPG Design Club, which you should all be excited about. You can also reach out to us at facebook.com/nodirection. Visit us at our YouTube page at youtube.com/nodirectionshow or twitter.com/nodirection if you want to follow us there. And of course, like always, we thank our Patreon subscribers that make this content and more content like it possible. You can check us out there via our link on our webpage. So until next time, I'm Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Perry.
I'm Alexander Gunas, the Everyman Gamer.
And I'm James.
You write code switch.
Oh, forgot that part. Sorry. Take us out, Param. Help.
Go beyond.
Help me.
Mayday.
With no direction.